Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday. This is a forum for people who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, that is, connecting with the unconscious, our deep inner knowing sense, what Jung calls our intuition, our deep inner knowing. When we connect with that, we recognize what's called our calling instead of our vocation, and we're able to activate and actualize our biggest dreams and our most persistent dreams inside. So if those are topics, if that topic and connecting with your intuition, listening to that more clearly, recognizing the resonance of that, if those are topics that interest you, you are definitely in the right place tonight. I want to tell you what's coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. Next week, we will be having Bonnie Chavez and talking about her book, Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti. Her and a co-writer wrote this book to talk all about happiness and having happiness on our own terms unconditionally. So I'm really, really looking forward to having her on. She was on with her many tarot decks that she's designed as well before, and I'm really looking forward to having her on again. And then after that, Beth Martins on May 28th will be on. Beth is working with the Breakthrough Festival, which if folks out there are familiar with Tom Lesher, who now goes by the name Kai Pacha, he is going all over the United States doing this wonderful, wonderful web-based festival, and then it's also on-site festival for people who are connecting with what are called their breakthrough stories, stories about connecting with that divine intention, that intuition, that insight, that is really our birthright, that we really really need to reach out and recognize what that story is about for us. So I'm really excited to have Beth Martins talking about this wonderful festival that's going all across the United States. One other thing I want to introduce that I'm really excited about is this Friday morning and all weekend long, we will be doing through the Intuitive Light community, which is a Facebook community that I'm involved in, a fishbowl for folks who are interested in promoting their spiritual businesses. A fishbowl is a wonderful opportunity to get likes, get follows, get support, and get out there in terms of whatever your dreams are, in terms of whatever your ambitions are to create a better world. So go and just look up the Intuitive Light Community Fishbowl, sign up for that. And the only rule about that is that if you like something, if someone likes something of yours, you need to like something back. Sharing is caring. So I'm really excited about that. There are a lot of people who have signed up, and it's a way that we can support each other in this growing building community that we're creating together. So with no further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight. My guest tonight, I'm really excited about having him on, is Michael Mates. Michael Mates is an intuitive coach who works with entrepreneurs to build their businesses and wants people to listen more deeply to their intuition. So, Michael, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for accepting the invitation. I do want to mention that we are going to be offering readings toward the end of the hour, but I do want to get a chance to talk with Michael about everything that he's doing, because he's doing some really exciting work right now. The first thing that I always ask people who are on Inner Voice, Michael, is when you started listening to your inner voice, did you follow it, or did it kind of find and pester you and ask for you to listen to it? How would you?
That's a great question. And I think in truth, we're all some unique combination of resistance and acceptance of it. I, you know, remember being intuitive or being psychic from a really, really young age. I told my preschool teacher when I was 5 years old that that I was a psychic, and she was not that amused by it, as you can imagine, and especially in the area that I grew up, which was a little bit more conservative and a little bit more rural. And for me, at that point, it was really just so natural. I always felt very comforted by it. As I got a little bit older, I would start to see things that were a little bit more grown up than the age that I was at. And so at that point, I felt a little out of place, and I already felt sort of strange enough or different enough. So as I kind of moved into adolescence, you know, 11, 12, and then through my teenage years, it wasn't something that I strongly resisted, but I started to develop a sense that you had to be careful who you talked to it about. So I knew it wasn't something that everybody was kind of comfortable with, but it wasn't something that I resisted. And I was really lucky to have a mom who kind of, you know, if not encouraged it, didn't say anything negative about it, or who was kind of on her own spiritual journey. So she was kind of getting more interested in, you know, metaphysics and New Age phenomenon and things as I was kind of going through this journey as well. And it wasn't a result of that. It was just synchronous, I guess. And my thinking by the time that I was 18, 19 was, you know, this is certainly a gift and it's certainly something that I could use, but I didn't put that in the context of using it to help other people. I just thought, you know, I'll go to college, I'll get a degree, I'll get a job, and then, of course, this will be a nice ability to help me in whatever I do. And I lost somebody really close to me when I was 19, and it was through that experience that it kind of was made clear to me that I was actually meant to use this to serve other people, and that I was meant to engage with it more on a personal level and push the boundaries of my ability and continue to work and expand my own intuition. And at that time, I don't know if I was just naive or if I was just in such a moment of faith, but I just listened, and I just started doing readings professionally for people, and that was almost, oh my gosh, that was almost 10 years ago now.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's so important to listen. And so often, you know, we get these inner callings and inner awarenesses. And I think life is often an opportunity to listen more deeply and listen more thoroughly. And it's just so wonderful that you listened from the time that you were really, really young. I mean, just that you were able to tell your teacher when you were 5, hey, I'm psychic, you know. It's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, and we're all, I love how you said that, you know, really, really listening and going very deep. And I think we're all challenged to do that on kind of ever deeper levels. We don't really reach, you know, like the end of our journey. And even now, working with my intuition and, you know, helping thousands of people work with their intuition, and I talk about intuition and I write about intuition. I mean, even now, I don't always listen to it. You know, I can be just as human as anyone else, or think that I have to go just with my rational, analytical mind. Even though I know that when I listen, you know, that's when I move into a way of living that works. And when I don't listen, I create a mess. But again, I don't think that doesn't mean it's totally easy for us always to listen to our guidance in that moment, even if later we know that by not listening, we'll create a mess for ourselves.
Absolutely. I think that that's really true. And I think that, you know, we all struggle with listening to those limiting beliefs and those, you know, those tapes that we were given maybe in our childhood or wherever along the way that really don't honor who we are and really don't help things to flow in the most smooth way. So I definitely think that's absolutely true. So that's awesome. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about when you realized that this was something that you could do as a business, when you realized that this was something that you had a calling to do and you wanted to do it as part of your calling.
Yeah. So for me, it was I lost somebody really close to me, and it was my aunt, and it was actually my first. It was really my first experience with dying. You know, some people had died when I was much younger, but I didn't really have a context to process that or to get it. When my aunt died and we were very close, it was just so devastating to me. And I went to kind of a dark place, and I went to a very self-destructive place. And she just, you know, appeared to me one night and said, you're going to use your gift, you're going to do readings, you're going to travel.
Wow.
And then she told me some things about my family that she'd been aware of that I wasn't aware of at that time, that I was kind of able to check on to get that validation. And I, you know, I at that time I thought, you know, well, that's lovely, but there's just no way. I mean, I had starting a business. I was 19 and in college and not getting a business degree or anything. I was not an entrepreneur by nature at all. It's been a very learned skill over the years. But I put up a website, and what I initially thought was, you know, I'll do a few dozen readings for free, and I'll just kind of prove that there's nothing here. And through that experience, I was able to gain a lot of confidence. And it took me in a total different direction. And in fact, the feedback I got was no, you shouldn't keep doing this for free. And in fact, there is something here. So I kind of built it up from there. For 5 years, you know, I did nothing but do one-on-one sessions with people. And I found a real shift in the way that my work happened, either because the planet was shifting or because I was maturing or some combination of both. Which was that when I started doing readings, the people that were drawn to me would ask me about a relationship and they would ask me about their finances. Over the course of the next 5 years, I noticed a really subtle shift in the types of questions that people started to ask. Not that people still wouldn't ask those questions, but they would also ask, how can I be more intuitive? How can I become more spiritual? How can I what's a spiritual solution to a practical problem? You know? And so these are the types of questions that I would start to get asked. And through that is when I really stepped into, you know, what I call intuitive coaching. So working with people over a more sustained basis and really teaching them to connect with their own inner wisdom. It's like the thing to me that's so unique is that we're all so similar. Like, I mean, we all have a capacity to access our intuition at a deep level, that we may have any number of formative experiences that make that easier or harder for us, but I think we all have that capacity. And so I really transitioned into working with people to really develop that skill. Some people who wanted to start businesses and some people who simply wanted to be more intuitive in their daily life. And then out of that, I sort of moved into my work with spiritual entrepreneurs, because people were coming to me to learn how to be more intuitive and then saying, okay, now how do I take this to the world? And so that's kind of how I got from just doing sessions to where I am now. And I still do readings, but my work primarily is with my coaching clients or somebody who go through one of my programs.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's so cool that you really are grounded in the work that you do, and you really, really focus on how intuition can help everybody. I think that, you know, we think that intuition is only useful if we're going to go be an intuitive and do intuitive work in it. And I love the fact that you stress this idea that in every aspect of your life, no matter whether you're a lawyer or a teacher or a doctor or a garbage man, using your intuition, being able to connect with people on an intuitive basis helps you to know how to act, to respond, to what relationships to deepen, what relationships to move away from, what opportunities to focus on, what opportunities to let go of, that it really is a way that we all need to connect in the world to, you know, make a better world and to be more connected in the world. And
yeah, it has everything to do with how our lives play out. I mean, just as you said, it's like, how often do we stay in a job that we know isn't serving us because we're not listening to that voice inside or that gut feeling that says, you know, this is not the place for you anymore? How long do we stay in that relationship with someone who really is a better friend to us than they are a romantic partner? Or how many times do we not, you know, put the vacation on the calendar, even though we know our soul needs it because we're so worried about money? So I think intuition, it's not about getting rid of logic and reason. It's just conjoining logic and reason with intuition and emotion. And I love the word grounded. And to me, it's really like that's when you wake up every day with a sense of faith, not because nothing bad ever happens or because you know every single thing that's going to happen, but you know how to ask for support. and you know that the universe will send you the support you need, even if it's not the support you think you need. And so I think it affects every area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't hear anyone else. I mean, I'm in a lot of intuitive circles myself, and I don't hear anyone else saying that. I've said it from the very beginning. Intuition helps you in every way in your life. And in my family growing up, intuition was not even something that was on the map. It was something that just plain didn't exist. If you believed in intuition, you were nuts, period.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, my journey has been about listening and recognizing that that is a better system than any other system out there for me. And I just think it's so wonderful that you present that information, you know, to the people that you work with, and that, that you help them believe that, you know.
Go ahead, Demi, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Because a lot of people think that it is, you know, hocus pocus, that it isn't real, you know, that it is crazy or, you know, not smart to believe in intuition. And I just think that the work you're doing is so wonderful because you're putting it front and center and saying, no, this is the way you can be more connected to your own inner knowing.
Yeah, I write about that in my book, which is coming out in hopefully September. And, you know, it's actually like bad practice not to believe in intuition. When you look at where modern science is taking us, where you look at, you know, what these people studying quantum physics are uncovering, you know, when you look at the fact that people that have hard science degrees are more likely to believe in an afterlife. People who have a positive spiritual belief system are likelier to have higher GPAs and better self-esteem. And it's actually bad practice in your life to not connect with some sense of intuition. And I think we absolutely need to bring that message out there, that whatever decision point, whatever choice point, whatever experience you're having in your life, there is a power within you that you can connect to and that can guide you through that. And sometimes our journey is just believing we even deserve to ask for that. I think so many people think, oh, you're psychic, that it's just like, you know, you have the answer key to the test. And that's not the truth. We still have our battles. We still have our challenges. We can still get frustrated with our work, you know. So I think that it's not about, the power is not in whether or not you do readings for people. The power is really in whether or not you believe you're worth asking, and then you could open your heart enough to receive the information that you get.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I love the fact, too, that you talk about this idea that intuition helps people to really, really connect on that deeper level. I know what I was going to say. I love the fact that you really focus on the fact that everybody is intuitive, and that you know, I mean, I think sometimes in the metaphysical realm, there's this dichotomy set up between the practitioner and the recipient of the reading, and sometimes there's too much power given away in that process. And I love the fact that you say, no, this has to work for you. It has to be right for you. This will help you to connect with your intuition, and that you don't reinforce that power dynamic that sometimes gets reinforced in the metaphysical community. And I just really
think if I can just touch on that for a minute, I think that's really, you really just gave voice to something that I've felt for so long. And just the way that you phrase that between the power differential, I mean, that's such a powerful way of thinking about it. I mean, it's like you don't just give up your ability to be a reasonable person because somebody says they're psychic or somebody says they're gifted. It's like we all have to find the people that work for us. And sometimes people, certain people, whether they're in the metaphysical community or, you know, whether they're the person, you know, selling you a shirt at your local boutique or what, you know, like we all have people that work for us and people that don't work for us. And that's okay, and I think sometimes the opportunity is for us to really step back and say, you know what, no, this isn't working for me. And right before I married my husband, I met someone, and, you know, they told me they were intuitive, and they told me, you know, that my wedding wasn't going to happen, and my relationship was going to fall apart, and beyond just that, that I didn't want to get married, you know, and if I would not have been who I am, and if I had, I could just see myself as a different person who could have been so affected by that, Now, luckily, I have spent some time thinking about it, and I just chose to say thanks, but no thanks to that version of reality. And I think that that's totally okay, but I just thought going out there and you know, kind of telling that to somebody, I mean, we have to be very, very careful. We're dealing with people who are often in a very vulnerable situation. And I think what you said is right, that it absolutely has to be a co-created experience. It's like if I go into a session and I start telling somebody how they can build a big, amazing business, and their goal is just to reach, you know, a few more people, then I'm not really honoring them in their journey. I'm kind of saying, well, here's where you need to be, or here's what I think is right for you. And I think, you know, that we see one other place I wanted to mention that we see that dichotomy created, I think, is this idea of being gifted. It's like God doesn't send anybody to this planet who's not gifted, you know? And so it's one of the things that I work on in my Mastering Your Psychic Abilities program is really tapping into your mediumship ability. And we get a lot of contradictory messages in the metaphysical community, like, oh, everyone's psychic, but you have to be born a medium. And I took a lot of flack when I started teaching that everybody could tap into, you know, mediumship as well. It might take you a little more work. You might have to tune yourself to a slightly different frequency. But if energy is energy and we can all connect to it, then why would that be different? And why would I want to operate under the limiting belief that you have to be born a medium? And so I think that even within our community, you know, we don't want to be reductive. We have to continually rethink what we're saying and look at if we're really, you know, walking our talk, and we have to, you know, be self-evaluating as well.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Edward Edinger, who's a famous psychotherapist, says we can't take the client any further than we've gone ourselves. So, like, that's this whole idea, you know, that if we're projecting onto our client based on our own needs, we're not helping them, what you were saying exactly, and that sometimes the work that we end up doing is because of the clients who come to see us. You know, we have to grow and stretch and look at something in a different way in order to incorporate the way our clients see it, as well as honoring our intuition. But there's a balance to be had for sure.
Yeah, and being open to the process and where it leads you, and not moving so quickly into judgment. I mean, it's kind of, we all have to get a little bit more comfortable, I think, at this point in our evolution, at being uncomfortable. You know, and it's not about if you're too comfortable, then you're probably not growing, shifting, and changing. But I think, you know, I just had a situation in my own life as I was thinking about this dichotomy within the metaphysical community, where somebody was telling me what I needed, and I kind of got very caught up in it for a moment. And then I had to take a step back and say, you know what, this actually isn't what I need. And I'm not even sure it's what I want, but it can be very easy in those moments and in that energy to disconnect from our inner knowingness. And none of us are immune from that. And so we have to know ourselves and say, hey, I need a minute to step back here, or I need a minute to go into meditation, or, you know, I need a minute to relax and just really get back to my center. And then we can go back to that person and say, yes, I need this, or no, I don't. But I think it's always okay to say, you know, I just need to take this in and run it through my filter to honor myself, but also to honor you, so that we can move forward in a way that works for both of us.
Yes, and I think that any intuitive, any psychic worth their salt will encourage that process in their client, you know, will honor that process as they're doing that. Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to know a little bit more about this book, if you can tell a little bit more. I know you can't, spill the beans, but
it's exciting, and I hope everybody will watch my website, michaelmapes.org, and like us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/psychicmichaelmapes to get the details, because we're going to do some really cool promotions for it, but we're also going to do a really cool pay it forward campaign, where if you buy a certain number of copies and give them away to your friends, then you'll be able to, like, get a reading from me. And maybe discounts on my program. We're working out the details, but we're going to have lots of really, really cool prizes and giveaways, and there'll probably be a charity component to it. But anyways, so just watch for more details on all of that. But the book is called Simply Spiritual, 7 Steps to Creating a Meaningful Life. And there was a process that I went through from about 19 when I started doing readings till about 22, 23, and it was really a roller coaster for me. You know, I had these moments of kind of, you know, awakening and getting, you know, a deeper self-awareness, but I also had moments of real darkness and real destruction, and I had to kind of, finding that balance was very hard for me, because I, on the one hand, was, people would come to me for readings, and there was a lot of pressure at that point for me to deliver, because I was younger, because of the own standards that I'd imposed upon myself, and because I really cared deeply for my clients and wanted them to get the answers they needed and to live better lives. So this book is all built around the seven things that I did to really balance my life and how I kind of moved myself out of that darkness and destruction really into truly living the life of my dreams. When I think about just the roller coaster I was on at that point in my life, and now I think about, you know, being married to a man that I love, and I think about the fact that my book is coming out and that I have a successful business and the way that my relationships are and how supported I feel, it's just proved positive to me that the steps work. And, you know, I don't know that I'm sure that all of the steps have been written somewhere before. But it was my particular process and way of thinking about things, and I think that other people will be able to kind of gain a lot from that. So it starts really with being able to view yourself as divine, and then it ends with being able to integrate spiritual practice into your daily life in a way that works for you, because I believe it's like, you know, a lot of my clients are busy people, and yet that doesn't mean they have to be disconnected from spirit, and that doesn't mean they have to be disconnected from their own higher selves. And I always wanted something that I could plug into my busy life, and I wanted a way of thinking that would make me feel supported. And so it's kind of the seven steps I use to move out of despair and into presentness.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. Well, do you have a date for its publishing and its release yet or not? Are you still working on it?
We are thinking sometime in September at this point.
Awesome.
And actually, we were going to go with May, and we just sort of moved it back so that we would have time to kind of do it right. Everything is done, essentially, so a few little tweaks and then bringing it out. So definitely this year, and I'm thinking September. But like I said, you know, make sure to check the website and everything for the promotions that we're doing for it.
Very cool. I think, too, the other thing that I really like about the way you work is this whole idea about ego. And I think that sometimes we can get so caught up in our ego and in our journey and leading our journey and not listening. And I think that when you really do listen, you really do open your heart, as you say, that's when you're able to sidestep ego and you don't get caught up. And when I say ego, I mean, I know that we all need to develop a strong sense of ego so that we have a sense of who we are, but letting ego lead more in like the spiritual idea of, you know, sometimes when we let ego lead, that's when we get caught up in our own, you know, our whole idea of who we are, as opposed to the gift that we're here to give and the service that we're here to do. And I think that it's just really wonderful that the work that you do is very, very service and very heart oriented. So.
Yeah, I think that's everything, and constantly challenging ourselves to stay in that. You know, it's like your soul doesn't care if you mess up. Your soul cares if you grow, you know. But if we mess up or we feel we make a mistake, we can be so hard on ourselves, and it can plunge us into such a bad place. But, you know, I think it's so important. And, you know, I learned that early on in my work, because, you know, we think of being intuitive, we think about that all about, you know, having the answers, right? So somebody asks you a question and you give them an answer. But I learned early on that it was always okay for me just to be truthful with my clients. And so it was always okay for me to say, I'm sorry, I'm just not getting a lot about that. And I'd rather tell you that than have me contrive something. You know, your ego would say, oh my gosh, you can't sit there and not give an answer. That's what they paid you for, and that's what they've done this. And yet I found that as I did that, it cleared up the space for us to really focus on the deeper things in our readings. So sometimes people would ask about money, and I would say, I just don't get a lot about that there. And they would say, yeah, that's okay. Things are basically good. And then I would say, but I do get a lot about this. And so we would really be able to focus on what actually was important and really what they needed to hear. So sometimes if you can just, again, it's not about, as you said, just totally disrespecting yourself, but if you can get that kind of fear-based part of yourself out of it, you can really listen to a deeper, more resonant part of yourself. And I think then your ego becomes a very productive force for change instead of something that's constantly sabotaging you and constantly, you know, tells you have to be this person that doesn't exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've noticed with the guests on Inner Voice, there's been a real shift, and maybe that's just because of the people that I choose for the show. I don't know. But it feels to me like there's been a real shift in terms of the kind of energy that people are talking about holding for clients and helping clients to develop. So it's a lot more around meditation and creative visualization and what they can do to help themselves grow and accept a spiritual component in their life. And I think that we're seeing a larger shift, not just, you know, that we're seeing a larger shift globally toward a more spirit-based way of living, because we have to, because we have limited resources and we have certain social problems, and we have to shift into this way of opening our hearts. And I'm definitely seeing it in my clients, like you were talking about, the whole idea that people are coming in, they're asking questions less about like their finances or these finite kind of things, and more about like, how can I grow? How can I do what I'm meant to do? How can I live my purpose? This sort of thing.
Absolutely. When I, you know, and I think that really mirrors my own spiritual evolution, because when I started, it was like, oh, I have this ability. Let's see if it works. And let's see if it works repeatedly. And let's see if I can get information about this. And let's see how detail, you know, and that was a bit, I don't dishonor that, because that was a very important part of my growth.
Yeah.
And it led me to explore all of these other things. But a deeper question very quickly became to me, well, what's the spiritual solution? So you think that the money is just this external thing, but it isn't, right? Because there's nothing external that's not a reflection of what we hold in our heart and mind. So if you don't have the money, well, yeah, maybe you could go get a different job. But what's the deeper thing that's prevented you from already getting that job or from manifesting that money or promotion in the job that you have? So I think that quickly intuition moved me from just a way to get information to a way to really pinpoint, well, what's the actual issue, and then what's the spiritual solution. And we have to, I think as we grow, it's not like we grow and then we're just done. Like, we grow and then we're challenged to take it to that next level. So with abundance, it's like, you know, yeah, you might initially, you know, just bring in some money you weren't planning on, but then your next level will be to really bring in that abundance and sustain it. So like, once you've proven that you're strong enough to attract it, then you kind of got to, your next step in evolution is to be responsible with it and to really use it to better the world. And the same is true of relationships and, you know, all of these other different challenges that we face. The universe, like, we say we want something and the universe usually sends it to us. But then once we get out of that level of manifesting, that way of, you know, I want this, I'm going to think about it, and then I'm going to get it, then we move into what I think is a higher, more powerful level, which is less about the want and more about, well, here's who I want to become. What do I need to get there? Send me that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that, too, we're really encouraged in our culture to focus on, material things literally, you know, not a sense of abundance around what really feeds us, what we really feel inspired toward in our lives, but, you know, kind of big ticket items. And honestly, that kind of leaves you in this place where you can only grow so much. But when you really start using principles of like the law of attraction and things like that, I think that you realize that it's about creating a life that sustains your vision, you know, and that is so much more about how you craft your day, what kind of clients you want to serve, you know, these sorts of larger questions, which are definitely about abundance, but aren't necessarily about material things in quite the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so conditioned to get the things that will help us survive. And it's almost a holdover from an older way of thinking, because many of us now are surviving, but we just realized that maybe what we wanted was a step up from just survival. So it's really about what will let you thrive at a very, very deep level. And I think then getting out of judgment of what that is for other people. For some people, that may be a certain level of success and material comfort.
Yes.
And for other people, you know, they may achieve that success and find really what fed them was really reducing, you know, the amount of things that they have and simplifying the way that they live. And I believe that we're at this place now where, as you say, if we are to survive, truly as a species, we must find the balance there. And we must start to, I think, really redefine the way that we see success and failure from a spiritual perspective.
Absolutely. I think it's about honoring the fluidity of our own vision, whatever it is, you know, being able to move with it and change it and grow it and all of that. Awesome.
Yeah,
be
okay. And I think how often have we outgrown our vision and just instead of being honest with ourselves and saying, well, here's where I'm at now, instead of here's where I was, we hold on to that because it's like, well, I told somebody I wanted this, so I don't want to go back on it. Instead of just honoring it, in that moment we were truthful. We really did want that. Maybe we got it and it didn't fulfill us, and now we want something else. And that's okay. And I love thinking of it as fluid, because we don't have to show up as the people we were yesterday. We choose to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that is such a more life-sustaining vision for the planet, this idea that we can change and we do change developmentally. We don't want the same things. We're not fixed, you know. Absolutely. Very cool. Well, we do have a fair amount of callers who I think would like readings. So
that's
I guess
wonderful.
Probably go on to that part of it here. and I think
that
if it's okay,
great.
I will just kind of piggyback off of you and see what we get together. Does that sound okay?
That sounds wonderful.
Awesome. Hi, you're on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Trish.
Hi, Trish.
I've been enjoying the show, so thank you very much. I had a quick question, and it's actually, I guess, it's sort of a question and sort of guidance. I'm getting ready to start a new job, and I'm very excited about it, and I kind of want to make sure that I'm doing everything I need to do to go in there the right, you know, with no blocks, no issues, and I am doing a little negotiating with them on salary, and I want to make sure that it's being perceived properly.
Awesome, awesome. What are you getting there, Michael?
Well, I think one of the things is to let go about how they're perceiving it, because you have no control over it, and to really get centered in, are you showing up in a way that's confident, that's heart-centered, that shows in the best of you? Because what popped into my mind right away was that it's not just that you need them, it's that the job really needs you, and yet it feels like there's almost a little fear or hesitancy around just stepping into that power. And also, it seems like there's a little bit of fear kind of almost around just stepping into being completely happy. I do really see it working out, and I think the negotiating process is it's fine, as I kind of connect to it here, and I think everything is really okay there. It's like sometimes there's meant to be a little bit of back and forth so that you can get to that equilibrium. So I feel like it's largely positive, and you can kind of just breathe into it and step into it.
Awesome.
The other thing I'm feeling, Trish, is that it's really, really cool that you are negotiating now, because you're setting the stage for who you will show up as the job continues. You know, you're saying, this is what I'm worth, and this is what I expect to get out of the situation, and that was something that will be respected later on down the line.
Yeah, and, you know, just it wasn't all me. I just happened to pick up that book from the woman who's the CEO or one of the CEOs at Facebook, and she said that's women's biggest problem is they don't negotiate.
Good
they
for
just...
you.
But anyway, thank you. That was very helpful. So you've kind of, like, put my mind at ease, and I will do that. I'll take your advice.
Awesome. Well, enjoy listening to the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Trish. Okay, here we go. Hi, you're on the air with Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who am I speaking with? Hello? 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 Hi, you're on the air with Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who am I speaking with?
I said, do you see him coming to visit soon? We live a little distance, like an hour away. So, like I said, we had a great time together, and now he's just a little quiet, so.
Okay, what's your name? Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air with Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Sandra, and I'm calling from New York. How are you?
Awesome.
Hey,
I'm
Sandra.
Good.
No,
good.
It's okay because I have
looks like
he's a quiet person, so.
I think you have someone else on the line there.
The human part, I can read other people, but, you know, it's just a little trying, you know, when it's a little different when,
okay,
when it's for yourself.
Hang on one sec. Somehow we
sure.
got two people on. I don't know how that happened. We almost lost. We weren't on air for a second, but we're back on now. So what's your name? I'm sorry.
My name is Sandra from New York.
Okay. Hi, Sandra. And what's your question this evening for Michael and me?
Hi, Michael. Well, I have a question. I left a career path in sales. I was kind of doing that for probably the last 12 years. And I'm feeling like I'm kind of moved to do something more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's totally doing something with my intuition because it's kind of unreliable at best. But, or if that means that I'm supposed to do something, work with both in my business world. I don't know. I guess I need some guidance.
Okay, awesome. What are you picking up, Michael?
Maybe I stumped him.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Did you lose
Michael?
Him?
I don't know. I'm not sure what Blog Talk is doing. Everything was going along well, and now... Well, I can tell you what I'm feeling.
Okay.
And I hope he shows back up. I'm not sure what is ensuing. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
What I'm sensing is that you have a lot of need to express things in your body and that a connection with Reiki or a connection with something about how you you feel energies in your body and help other people with them will really, really help you grow and will really, really help you to be able to create a business. So that's kind of what I'm feeling.
Okay, so you're kind of feeling that I should probably go towards like Reiki or some sort of...
Reiki, body work, massage, anything like that. I feel like you would be great at working with clients on that basis. And I feel like you are very intuitive, but that a real good way for you to connect with it would be to do body work with other people and to feel it in your body.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what happened to Michael, but...
Ooh, could you put me back on hold? I'd love to be able to get his input as well.
I can try, yeah, absolutely. I'll put you back on hold.
Thank
see.
You so much.
Sure, no problem. Hi, Michael. Hello?
Is that C-O-R-D-O? C-O-R-D-A?
Huh, I don't know what happened. I think.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm waiting for a psychic reading.
Okay, hang
I
on.
I ask you.
I'm going to see if we lost him because.
Okay.
I am not.
Oh, okay, so how much do you charge? You go by half an hour or an hour? Pardon me?
Okay. call back in here.
Donna,
I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, I see something, but I'm not going to get on the air. So, yes, we all can read. So thank you, Mimi.
Thank you. Remind me.
Okay.
No, it's okay. You have to get to other callers. I'll call you.
515-447. All right. Hi, Michael.
Yep, I'm back.
Hello.
Absolutely.
I'm not
Thank
sure
you.
What happened. Blog Talk is notorious for this.
Me too.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I'll call you.
Wasn't.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, so I'm glad you're back
call,
on.
But it,
I'm sorry?
Yeah, okay. I said it didn't
Apologies.
Drop the call. I just, you stopped being able to hear me.
I have no idea what happened. It said, do you want to end the episode?
No.
The Blog Talk has been doing this lately. Anyway, moving on. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Donna.
Hi, Donna, and how can we help you this evening?
Hi, Michael. I'm on disability, but I'm fine with medicine and all. And I have a friend back east. I've known him 30 years, and he's 89. And I kind of depend on winning things, and, you know, I enter raffles, and I seem to do pretty good. You know, I've won a car and a couple trips, and now I've created my friend who's 89, has no family. And he mentioned me going there and selling his house and coming to California and then buying another house. And he said he would leave me the home, and then my sister and I would look after him so he's not alone, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I wanted to know what feeling you got on this happening.
What are you getting, Michael?
It feels really tenuous to me. So I don't know. I just the image I get is of a tightrope. So it feels like to me it's maybe not necessarily something you can depend on happening.
Okay. Well, I was going to fly out there. We were going to sell the house in May.
Mm-hmm.
But then a truck hit him a week ago when he was riding his bicycle. So now he's all bruised up.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of swollen the body. Yeah, I think it's a
win-win
situation because he has someone to look after him. He's not alone. I've done this kind of work before. I have like 30 years experience. I'm 60. He's 90. My sister's 50.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, just for me, it just seems tenuous. It just doesn't seem for sure like
I have a lot of time. That's what I have on my – I have a lot of time because I don't work.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems like if you fly out there before you sell the house, like you don't want to do anything that's going to undermine your own needs and what it is you're doing. I mean, you can get more information about the situation by doing something like that if you want to. But I wouldn't suggest doing anything rash before you see what's going on.
Yeah.
Before you see and observe what's going
on. I can always hire people, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it's all on me.
Right.
I can hire people. But I just wanted to get an intuitive feel of what you felt, you know.
Yeah.
You think it feels tenuous.
Yeah, it does feel tenuous.
I just had a great reading.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Jenny.
Yeah?
Can I say something to, I think, Sandra from New York, who was
on
right before?
Yes, hi. Okay. I'm here.
Awesome,
okay.
Cool.
okay. So I was just going to say, don't step away from the empowerment of being in sales for 12 years. I mean, sales is spiritual. That doesn't mean every salesperson is spiritual, but sometimes we have to sell something to our clients in order for them to get a transformation. So you have a whole bunch of knowledge that could really serve you in your business, you know, like ultimately, you'll probably want to develop some higher-end programs or some premium programs that are a little bit of a higher price point, and you will have to sell those to people. So I don't think that, to me, there's not a dichotomy between being spiritual and being a salesperson. I mean, you can be in integrity and still sell things.
Yeah,
so
I think it was just more,
you know,
what I was selling was not in integrity with what I was,
yeah.
you know. That's what it
yeah,
was.
For
now,
you,
I mean,
really.
I think I'm an inborn natural salesperson, and I think that just comes out of me naturally. And I think that I love that contact between me and a person. So I'll always have that. And I don't want
to
leave
one thing
that.
To, One thing, too, is I would say if you head over to my website, michaelmapes.org, you can get a free copy of my Find Your Divine Truth report.
Oh, goody.
And it might help you kind of go within and really clarify. I agree with everything Jenny said. That's why, I don't need to repeat that because I just agree with her. But maybe it'll kind of help you clarify exactly what is the next step for you and strengthen up your own intuition a little bit.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to maybe do it something in training with people because
mm-hmm.
I felt like I'd be, you know, interacting one-on-one, maybe not selling them the actual training facility, but training people is something that I really do enjoy. So I thought maybe that would work for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could do a course on spiritual sales. Or you could also, you know, you could always, in whatever you do, if you did something in body work, if you did something in Reiki, there's always, I think this is like our challenge for all spiritual business owners right now. It's we have our craft, but then how do we take that to the next level? So I think you have a lot of potential, and hopefully that free report will help you clarify.
Thank you so much for picking me back up, and thank you for letting me know that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take
care,
Sandra.
Have a great
Sandra.
Night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, that seems to be who we have in terms of for reading. So.
Wonderful. Well, what a great audience.
Yeah, I know, no doubt. I don't know what happened with Blog Talk, but oh well. So we've just got about, six more minutes here. What else do you want to share, Michael, tonight?
Like I was saying, and I'm still getting a little feedback on my end, so if you can't hear me, just let me know.
Okay.
You know, what I would say is, of course, you know, anybody is, as I just said to Sandra, is welcome to go over to michaelmapes.org and get a free copy
Absolutely.
Of my Find Your Divine Truth report. It's 15, 16 pages, so it won't take you very long, but it tells you a little bit more about my journey and part of why I'm so passionate about doing this work and why I'm so happy that things like this show exist and Blog Talk Radio more generally exists and all these amazing blogs and online communities is because, for me, even 10 years ago, finding credible knowledge was the hard thing.
Yeah.
And knowing what to trust. And by credible, I mean what worked for me and what was resonant for me. And to me, intuition is a very practical thing, and we can talk about it in a very practical way. And that's my style, and that's what works. It doesn't mean it's the only style. And so I kind of and it was a sort of very isolating feeling, and I really just went with trial and error and kind of figured out that it's okay to be a spiritual alchemist and take what works and leave the rest. But you really now, if you want to work on your intuition, you don't have to go through that alone. Whether it's working with me and my Master Your Psychic Abilities in six weeks program, which is really the culmination of my life's work this far, and I teach you a great process in there, or another intuitive program, or, you know, and we all have different levels of how we learn and what we're ready for. You know, that now there are great books, there are great Kindle books, there are great video trainings, there are online programs, there are in-person trainings, and for me, those are all great ways to learn. It's about finding that person that you can resonate with. And again, you'll never take everything from any person, but you may take some things that you hone, refine, and adapt to really use. So I would say if you're wanting to expand your intuition and you're really feeling called to take it to that next level, you know, ask the universe to send you the person that's really right to work with you and that really feels right in your soul and that communicates in a way that really works for you. And I think that, you know, that's the one thing I wish I had figured out a little bit earlier, that there were people out there who could have been amazing resources for me. There were people out there who could have helped me really grow in a joyful way instead of having to grow through struggle. So don't feel that you have to go through this journey alone. And like I said, that doesn't even have to be a paid program. There are fantastic shows just on Blog Talk Radio that, you know, are a great starting place for you, or, you know, books on Amazon that are just a few dollars. And so you can spend more money if you're, you know, ready and at that place, but it's not about the money. It's just about believing that you're worth putting the support in place, whatever that is for you. And I wish that somebody had said that to me, or that I'd been able to receive that a little bit earlier than I was, because it took me a long time to get around to that.
Absolutely. And I think that's about listening to your own inner guidance. Like whenever you go to get a book, if the book isn't resonating for you, put it down. Right? Find something that is. If you're working with a program and, you know, someone is moving you along faster than what you want to be, or just focusing on stuff that isn't right for you, find something that resonates for you. Any good intuitive, any good practitioner will encourage you to follow your own intuition as the point of departure. And that's really an important thing to know.
That's true. And I've kind of learned that through my own programs. And that was a little bit difficult for me at first, because I was like, well, you know, I have this 6-week program and they're doing it in 12 weeks. Am I doing, you know, is it something that I did wrong? And what I realize is actually everybody has their own process. And some people are going to do, you know, a module every 2 weeks. Some people are going to go right through it. Some people are going to, you know, download it and then use it over the next year. And that's really okay. And the same is true even if you're doing an in-person class. You may go for 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or even beyond and get the knowledge. But then you may work on applying that for the next 6 months or the next year. And I think that's exactly right, that it's not about the change anybody else thinks you need to have. It's about what you're ready for, how you learn, and being able to say, yes, this is working for me, or no, it doesn't work for me. And that's one of the most beautiful processes that I have with my clients. We have feedbacks and surveys built into everything that I do, because I want to hear that feedback, and I think that we all should be open to that. Now, that doesn't mean we'll probably make every change that somebody suggests, but again, just as we were talking about before, it helps us evaluate, become better teachers, and become better messengers.
Absolutely. And I echo that. I wish that I had listened more closely to, well, not so much in terms of my own metaphysical journey, because I was pretty good at listening, but the work that I did before I did intuitive work, I wish that I had listened to my intuition better, you know. Because I would have quit jobs, I would have done all sorts of things that I didn't feel like I had the support to do. And that's another piece that's so important, is finding the support system, finding people who are going to encourage you wherever you're at on your journey, who are going to get excited about what's inspiring you, and that people who are going to hold you back are not people that you want to give a lot of energy to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the good part about, I mean, we can look back and wish that, but I think the good part is it's like, you know, the universe isn't a game show. It doesn't give us a limited number of chances. So we keep getting that next opportunity to make the choice. So now if I look at something, or I'm working on something in my business or in my personal life, and I feel like I need support in some way, whatever that looks like, you know, I've just learned that I can say yes to that. Or if I don't know where to find it, I can ask the universe to show me. And I just have the faith that it will show up. And we have that opportunity, I think, to still practice that and actualize that and to realize it can look like a whole bunch of other things, from working one-on-one with a person to going to a meetup group, to finding an online community, to getting a book, to go, you know, to whatever it is.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for sharing the hour with Inner Voice. I think it was really rich and a great conversation. And thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing the program.
Absolutely. Take good care, Michael.
I will. Bye.
Bye. My name is Seth, a full-time fool. The joke was on me. I got all those birds flying off of the tree. That's lucky. do check out the Intuitive Light community on Facebook. Sign up for our fishbowl if you have intuitive businesses, heart-centered businesses, and you'd like support in them. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, connect with magic. That's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Take good care. Bye now.